Welcome to the award-winning Dare to Dream podcast with Debbie Dashinger, covering metaphysics, ETs, shamanism, and channeling. Here you will find spiritual inspiration from today's thought leaders, along with cutting-edge insights from our interstellar brothers and sisters and ancient shamanic wisdom. Now, here's a new episode of Dare to Dream with your host, Debbie Dashinger.
I love doing this so much, and welcome once again to Dare to Dream. This is where the extraordinary is the conversation, and it's also the invitation. Today on Dare to Dream, we're going to step into a territory that few have entered and returned to speak about. Danian Brinkley is here. He's a best-selling author, spiritual messenger, survivor of three near-death experiences, or sometimes called NDEs. And he is joining us today with wisdom earned not from theory, but from literally crossing the boundary between life and what lies beyond. So in 1975, a lightning strike stopped his heart for 28 minutes. And then it sent him through a tunnel of light into a vast crystal city where angelic beings revealed humanity's purpose, the architecture of consciousness, and prophetic visions of our future. But that was only the first crossing. So for nearly 50 years, Danian has served the dying, helping thousands, guiding them, guiding veterans through their final moments, and has explored what he insists is the greatest misunderstanding of all: death does not happen. Consciousness continues, and every choice you make ripples across lifetimes. So today on the show, we are going to explore what his journeys show about the soul's mission, the life review, the evolution of humanity, and how to live with clarity and courage in a rapidly changing world. So if you've ever wondered who you truly are, why you incarnated, or what happens when this particular story ends, this conversation with Danian Brinkley transforms everything. And if you'd like to learn more about him, go to his website, which is his first name, danion.com. And with that, I welcome Danian Brinkley to the Dare to Dream show. It's so great to have you here again.
It's great to be here, Deb. I enjoy listening to you. You're a delight.
Thank you, love, so much. What a life. You know, it's very cool what you're doing right now. And I'm sort of going to fast forward for this moment to the now, because you are, to me, somebody who really is the, I have taken my mess and made it a message. So you've taken what is, in a way, it's very cool, beautiful, you transcended, you got to the other side, you've been able to bring back all this wisdom and insight. And yet at the same time, what it took for you physically, emotionally, to die, come back, recover, all the things you have been through, and potentially all the things physically still you have to deal with. And yet you've turned it into your message. And you are doing such beautiful things with it. And I might call you a death doula, which I think is such an honorable job. So as a death doula, what is new about what you're learning about helping people transition and about what those people, I know what they need because I've been there for people too in their last throes. And I dream of that, of in my last days, to have someone there, a conscious being there with me. And so what is that like for you, the latest that you're seeing and learning about that journey?
I think it's about, I've always said that the battle for the souls of humankind would be fought in healthcare. Okay, that said that now, Debbie, for 50 years, because the greatest power evil has is in palliative, in end-of-life care. It can destroy families' complete past and destroy their future ability to operate as a team, as a family, in a single passing. When people get all involved in the process of, you come here leaving, From the first breath you take, you're already, every other breath is till you leave. So when you have such an unstable nature of reality happening with so many people in my age group, the baby boomers, passing so fast, everyone's a caregiver and everyone has to learn that this process and how we handle it will determine so much of our own spiritual unfoldment in this new period that we're living in. Anybody who is my age knows that the world I was born in has disappeared. It may look the same, but it's freaking gone.
Yeah.
Okay. So knowing that, and knowing that so many people are passing, watching what can happen when people don't understand this basic fact. All those people who ever told you that you were going to die and all the reasons they told you were going to die and all the things that were going to happen to you after you die is utter freaking nonsense. It's just a bunch of hooey. Nobody dies. It never is going to happen, everybody. All you're going to do is remember this. You're just a half a breath away from leaving here. And when everybody starts talking about it's all physical and mental. Okay, well, guess what? When you take let that half a breath out and you leave here, your physical body's still here. The chemicals are all in it. Proteins, amino acids. And the body's growing fingernails and it's doing stuff normally with the stuff it has on board. But what's it missing? You. And you left with a half a breath. That's what you did. And what happened at that moment? You just lifted out of this body. Because 95% of everybody who's ever had a near-death experience said they floated above their body. They saw it lying in the bed. They saw it lying in the road, in the car. Well, I always think to myself, who is the observer? If you're looking at your body, well, tell me who the observer is. The observer is you. And if you can see your body, then you are not that body. Okay, right there was the lesson of the near-death experience. And mine was one death experience, dead for 28 minutes. Then open heart surgery, then brain surgery, then open heart surgery, and then clinically resuscitated twice. But nothing will stop me, Deb, from getting where I believe I can best fight the evilness that I see in palliative and end-of-life care. By the time this airs, I will have already had a meeting with Bobby Kennedy, the head of Health and Human Services.
For you.
Mike Host, the head of the Veterans Affairs Committee, and Secretary Doug Collins, the head of the VA, right, is the present head of the VA, Secretary Doug Collins. I will have met with them and set to implement the programs that is on Danyon.com. So that means I will be, if you read Saved by the Light, Chapter 5, I will be in Box 13. Remember, Deb, I wrote down the future. In 1977, I wrote down the future events. I didn't know they were future events. I just wrote them down when I could write. It took me 2 years to learn to walk and feed myself. But when I could finally sit down, I wrote them down. And so when you look at the boxes of knowledge, it would all come to a day when this was possible to dream and believe. That I would be able, no matter what it took, that I would achieve this goal from what I learned from being on the other side. So for everybody that's sitting calmly and listening and thinking about this, with knowing we all have someone in transition, you will lift out of your body. When I lifted out of my body, the body I left was burning and on fire. I could not see because of the ball of fire had come through the room. And it burnt my eyes so bad, and I was paralyzed. When I lifted out of my body, I could see. I had no burning, no sensation, and I could move. Then I looked around, and I was in the. They moved, put me in the ambulance, and I was watching them in the ambulance. And the paramedic said, "He's gone. He's gone." And I thought, "Gone where?" And I move down this tunnel over my left shoulder, and I come in this place of bright, beautiful, silvery, shimmering light. And I mean, it was magnificent. And the point that's become so where it's hard to explain to people is you already know that you are connected to the divine energy, and the divine energy knows it is connected to you. So utter resonating peace and harmony. Then I met this being. And then I saw my entire life pass before me. And everybody, you better listen to me when I tell you this. The Hall of Records, the Book of Judgment, you know, all of those stories, those are true stories. You will see your entire.
That. I do. I think it's very important to take a pause here because some people fear this life review. And when you say there's so many questions as part of this, but I want to talk about the misconception that people have about what actually happens during that panoramic review or reliving. And is there anything we can do about what we see, or is it just there's joy, there's remorse, there's learning? How does that work?
You literally see your whole life pass before you. Okay, who do you think the judge is? You are the judge. Who knows more about you than you? Nobody. Nobody. Okay. And why I say this is people have to get ready for this. You cannot change yesterday, but you can take what's going to happen and change today and tomorrow. And that's the most important thing of the lesson. You will see your life pass before you in a 360-degree panorama, and you will have missed nothing. Then you watch yourself from a second person point of view as though you were your own best friend. You see the same event. But when you understand the beauty of the divine nature of how the God operates, watching yourself as your own best friend, if you fail and you feel miserable, your best friend will pat you on the back and say it's going to be okay. And if you pull off the big one and you're all puffed up so happy, they're going to pat you on the back and calm you down.
I
And
love
then you're
that.
literally going to become every person that you've ever
Oof,
encountered.
it's
And you're going
very
to feel the
powerful.
direct
Wow.
results of your interaction between you and them. And there is nothing you can do.
Right.
Acceptance becomes the place of lack of fear of death. It's religions, institutions, and government, sin, bad and wrong, immoral. These terms have what structured the nature of what you think you did. But what everything is done is never why, Deb. It's never what you did, it's why you did it. The intention that you take of why, like before I did this show and we came on, I set the intention that from my heart, let my words touch the hearts of those who are dealing with this kind of stuff and are trying to make rational decisions about it. I've been a hospice volunteer for 48 years. I've been a hospice volunteer in the VA 44 years. I've been with 2,017 people going from this world to the next. And I have my 2,018th person now, Mark. And I built the largest end-of-life care volunteer program for dying veterans in American history. And I co-wrote the standard end-of-life care model that is presently used by the Veterans Administration for palliative and end-of-life care. And why? Because if I was going to be every person that I'd ever encounter, and I felt the direct results of my interaction between me and those persons, I was an asshole, an arrogant, pompous, tough guy. I would have no problems hitting you in the face, and I had no problems of because I could be a bully. I went through football, the Marine Corps, tough guy, until 1975 when this happened, and I discovered that I am a spiritual being and I better act like it. Same I'm telling everybody else, because you're going to face yourself. And so, what do you do today? You change the reasons for why you do what you do. You make sure it's heartfelt and you don't get weak or or mamby-pamby, you realize that you're here to make a difference. And making that difference doesn't require all the restrictions you place on yourself. It's the opportunity that it set a reason for why you get up in the morning. And at the end of the day, look how well you stayed close to that reason. I set goals for me. Most of it's staying alive. Okay. And what it takes for me to stay alive. And I'm telling you, it's hard. Okay. But nonetheless, I have a dream and a goal to be the best that I can be. And I know this is a fact, and every person who's hearing my voice, I swear to you, you are the best there is. In order to come to this quote-unquote prison planet, there is no one better at what you divinely do than you. There is no one. They create this opportunity of us called free will, and man, is it a ride.
And the stuff... You know, I want to say that this, I'm at a point in my life where this conversation is very meaningful. 10 years ago, I don't know. You know, and there's something about getting older where the reality of where your life is leading eventually, and that every year you get a year older, it's getting another year towards the end, as you said, or a breath towards the end.
On the
it's
beginning.
Very true. And I'll say that, you know, my mom, when she got Alzheimer's, and thankfully we found the most amazing place for her, and they were so good to her. And I was it at the end of life because I'm the only one of our family who lives in California. And it turned out to be an incredibly healing journey. Oh, I am so grateful. The Alzheimer's made her so mellow. She certainly wasn't before. And I was able to find ways to communicate with her through singing and music so she could receive and we could connect when she became nonverbal. And I was there at the end, you know, all the days when she was in hospice. And I always thought, you know, because of how our life started, I thought the irony that I would be here with her, that things would turn like this. And I would care for her maybe in ways I didn't feel I had growing up. So it was very beautiful, very healing. And I felt, you know, still feel so good about it. When my grandfather died, we gathered from all around the world, my relatives from Israel, my relatives from New York, us, all of us flew back to be with us until he passed, period. That was the love of a family coming together. And we sat with him every moment. We would take turns. You know, you have these 2 hours, you have these 2 hours, and that's just how it went. You know, when I've been with every animal, my one commitment beyond the love and the care and connection is I will never abandon you, never. And so to their last breath, they have been with me and they've known they were safe and I was there. That's so important to me. And again, as I'm getting older, even more so. And I do think about this, that, you know, if my partner goes before me or, you know, my sister-in-law, brother, you know, the people I'm close with, like who, I don't have kids. So who would be there? So these things you're saying, and to have someone there with that level of consciousness, of awareness, of care, of ability to connect, I know part of me will be in another place half of the time, which will be quite beautiful. But the part of me that still remains until the end, I would really like to manifest somebody like you or who works with you that I would just love to have there for me in my last days.
Well, I'll be there, honey. Always remember this, Deb. A person in transition needs three things. They don't need to listen to people's crap. First, they don't need it. And it's never about them. And people make stuff about them. We come here per breath. How did you get here? You get here when you took your first breath, and you leave when you take your last breath. Okay? People believe that life begins at conception. Okay? Well, I don't believe that. Because how many beings are jockeying for position to come into this dimension to achieve what is called co-creation with the divine, to be a minister, to be a minister of the power and skill set of the divine laws in a place that appears to be physical. That is everybody's dream. It's like the ultimate game. You come per breath. You breathe in, you hold that breath, and you divinely connect through your sinus cavities and your pineal gland. You divinely connect. And then you set an intention collectively for why you breathe out. And you do that every single time, no matter what you think, this is what you're doing. So knowing that, a person needs to know that their life had value. Never lie to them. If someone's sitting there, I have value with veterans because I'm an old Marine. So I have something in common and I can break the ice really fast. And they need to know that their life had value. They need closure. How do you structure closure? You get to talk about life is about progression and moving forward. John, you cannot lie in this bed and watch Jeopardy. We have to make a plan. You can't get out of the bed. They say, I can't walk. I don't feel like it. Well, all our lives, as my friend, parent, whoever it was about pushing me, making me the best I could be, all of that. Well, I'm sorry. You have to make a plan. In making a plan, you can take them back to what they did when they were children, what they did when they were teenagers, what they did when they went to war, went to work, what they did. And once you start them down that path, knowing that the panoramic life review is coming, the panoramic life review is coming. So as they start down that path, they make that progression. They make that progression between this level of energetic patterns and the next one, this world and the next. And then they need permission. And you use permission this way. Who do we need to call? Who do we need to call to say goodbye? It may not be happening today or right now, but you wouldn't be in here if you didn't know it was happening. I'm very easy about it. I don't go all there and get all worked up. I know what's next. People say, Daniel, in those thousands of people, how many times have you ever talked about a near-death experience? I'd say one out of every 40. Because it's not about my experience, it's about theirs. Okay, and so when you come to the place that they need permission, then that comes in an array. When I went to the VA, Deb, they had to pay for their own meals and they so sick and broke and they couldn't call anybody. So I got this company to give me these phone cards. Remember when phone cards were in and you could use a phone card? And the people would have a minute and a half left and they couldn't use the card. So I got the guy to capture those minutes and give me 20-minute phone cards for my veterans, like 600. And I would go and say, okay, who are we going to call? I would dial the number. And I heard guys tell the saddest freaking stories and be crying and seeking forgiveness. I mean, over and over again. And some people just being level about what they want done with their stuff, you know, how they want to manage their stuff. But I had Curtis, who was like 600 pounds and a Navy guy. And I said, who do you want to call, Curtis? I dialed a number. Curtis, the person on the other end answered the phone. And Curtis cussed him for all he was worth. Every word that you could possibly imagine, Curtis was unloading. Who this guy was the guy who was his best friend that stole his wife while he was at sea. And Curtis unloaded. And when he had enough of it, he handed me the phone. He smiled big. He put his hands behind his head. He laid back and took a breath. And that was his last one.
Wow. Unreal.
That was his last one. And I've been through the joy of watching people transition, and I know where everybody's going. and all that rigmarole, and everybody gets told, please, everybody, don't believe it. Don't believe it. Okay? Because none of that is true. Facing yourself, we are responsible spiritual beings. And when I do programs like at Conscious Life, like this Conscious Life that's coming, the program that I'm doing there is the absolute truth, who you are, how you are, how you got here, and how I can prove without any question that you are a spiritual being with dignity, direction, and purpose. I can prove it, no question. So why I do this and take the wrappings off is people don't have time. And as fast as stuff is evolving in the medical world and electrical world, CRISPR is the scariest thing I have ever seen. It's the ability to program and manipulate your DNA as though it was a computer, to take apart your DNA, and they go build superhumans and design your own children. This is already happening. Well, you
I
do that with
know.
CRISPR. Okay, so they're going to grow the perfect child. They're going to manufacture. I don't know how bad that is, but super beings and superheroes and data inputted bodies, everybody you watch, the Japanese are growing children because the elderly, they don't have enough young people to take care of the elderly, and the Japanese are not producing, so they're going to produce children. This is
Is this
2025.
one of the things you saw in the Crystal City? Is this one of the prophecies? And of the prophecies that you saw once you crossed over, went to the Crystal City, what has not yet occurred or may be occurring right now that humanity still hasn't grasped? Here you're talking about the generation through manipulation, genetic manipulation to create a human or a superhuman. And I am aware of this. Talk more about this and about other prophecies that you saw and are aware of that either haven't happened or are happening but are so deep in the background we're not fully aware of yet.
The battle for the souls of humankind will be fought in healthcare. The battle for so the souls of humankind. The ability of what the science is doing is the ability to block you from accessing your divine nature, the value of breathing. You come in this world, you take a breath, and the divine flow moves through you. And then it stops. When you have before you breathe out, you have to stop. You breathe in and stop before you breathe out. Between every word that I'm saying right now is a space. Once you realize that you divinely connect, when you hold that breath, you and God are communicating that. And then you and God breathe out an action into the world, no matter how easy or lightly or how intense. You never throw a punch breathing in, you throw a punch breathing out. So it's the intention. This is how it works. To control and manipulate that is the goal of what medicine is going to now. And what they're going to do is they're going to put healthcare into wearables. It'll be a wearable, like everybody with a little Apple Watch. And then you'll have your internet on your watch with Starlight. And then right now, they can take your blood pressure and check your pulse. I'm pretty sure right now, because of a cell phone, they're capable of collectively taking your pulse by targeting your cell phone. But when you have a device on it that takes it, make sure you took your medicine. Just make sure you took your medicine. Make sure that your proper medicine. Make sure that your pulse is fine, your sugar's fine. And then that means it's cheaper health care and is you're being maintained and being taken care of. Well, a 2-year-old is going to be like the mask. The 2-year-old is not going to wear the mask. They're going to tear it up, break it, tear it off, rip it off. Then it will become a microdot. The microdots are already in existence. And when you put that under your skin, then I've already seen what that's going to do. This is what's going to happen to drive your health care and to put it into health care. Is greater than the wars and all the other stuff that's going on. Because once you can block a person's spiritual connectivity, then you just keep pulling them out. You keep pulling them out. You keep pulling them out instead of in between each breath
Can you
is the value of
articulate
your
the
life.
revelation of the blueprint of consciousness, compassion, and our secret soul assignment?
It can block you from it. See, everybody knows the story. You know, people are locked in religions and institutions and government stories. But people who like me, who've been dead two or three times, you're funny. That stuff is ridiculous. It's so ridiculous. I don't understand how in the world we got so crazy. It's crazy because we are great, powerful, and mighty spiritual beings with dignity, direction, and purpose. The only thing that can ever go wrong is you allow something to affect your dignity, which skews your direction and your purpose. Okay? And most of that is your opinion of yourself. And so, what drives your opinion of yourself? All the crap that you've got going on around you and what's expected of you. And then, what everybody tells you you're not achieving. And if they're complimenting you for something, it's so that they can access, control, or manipulate you for something else. And that's the basic parameters that we operate in social and psychological structure. When we get to the place that you can, on social media, talk so bad about me that I want to commit suicide. That means everybody's gone freaking crazy. Okay, so my world is this. I watch stuff, Deb. You know, I watch and I know everything about death and dying. I know everything. I have 90,000 hours at the bedside. I was with my mom and my dad, and I've been with thousands of people because I understand. I know the three things and how you structure it. And I took the Twilight Brigade and I trained tens of thousands of people. And they're out there. And then when the VA absorbed the program, I couldn't compete with them, although they could never recruit as many people as I recruited to hospice. But, you know, I still honor exactly what I said I would do.
So
So
beautiful. Yeah.
see,
I'm going to take
everybody
a
has.
quick pause here and I'm going to invite the listeners into something a little deeper. First of all, I've got a gift for you for those who would like to know their galactic heritage, their star family lineage, where are you from? Go ahead and get the free starseed video and report so you can learn way more about the planets, the species, and all the qualities. It'll all start to make sense. Go to debbiedashinger.com/starseed. That's Debbie with an I, Dachinger with a C, Debbie, Dachinger.com/starseed. And if you are ready for a profound experience and transformation. I offer 90-minute healings online once a month. They are shamanic and galactic in nature. You get light codes, you get all sorts of activations. Every month is a different subject. In fact, tonight is going to be the next one for this particular month. And the whole subject is about self-forgiveness. I am focusing on helping you move out a lot of the darkness you've been carrying around and all of the things you really want to let go of and surrender, because this is the snake year, the number nine year, and it is time to let go because next year we're going into the number one year, all about beginnings. So let me assist you. Go to debbiedashinger.com/healing. We've got a really nice contingency of people coming tonight. So join us. And you can see Danian and myself at Conscious Life Expo. I know both of us will be speaking, we'll be on panels, all of it. So come have an experience of a lifetime. Every year this happens in February. This one is February 20th through the 23rd, 2026, Los Angeles Conscious Life Expo held at the LAX Hilton. It is the event not to be missed. We take over the hotel. It's three floors. It's over 200 speakers, over 800 vendors, and you will find your tribe there. You'll also find amazing speakers like Danian, like to just go and see in person. It is intimate, it is beautiful, and it's one of my favorite things to do every year. So I look forward to meeting you. I love when people come up and say, hey, I watch you or I listen to you on Dare to Dream. So join us, debbiedashinger.com/CLE for Conscious Life Expo, debbiedashinger.com/CLE. All the links are in the show notes and description, so go there. And if you would like to join me for the adventure of a lifetime, you have a few weeks left to leave a deposit because we are going to Greece and Turkey, friends, aboard the Mystery School at Sea.com cruise. Amazing. Laura Eisenhower, Vivian Chavez, Debbie Solaris, myself, Geraldine Orozco, Neil Garr, all of us, and more are presenting on this cruise. We did it last year to the Yucatan, but this time we're going to the Mediterranean. I look so forward to this. We all get so tight living on the ship together, eating meals together, going to these ancient sites. So go to Mystery School at Sea.com. And you have to fill out the form, leave a deposit. That's all you need to do right now. And under reference, please click on Debbie Dashinger. And finally, folks, if this conversation means something to you, go ahead and hype the video. You can subscribe for more amazing conversations, like it, and leave a comment. I do read them all. When you do this, you take a moment in reciprocity for all we give for free with these conversations. And additionally, great karma, because you're helping so many star seeds and light workers all around the globe to find this show, these talks. And so please feel free. We love to be supported also by our community. Like, subscribe, and leave a comment. All right, back with more with Danian. And Danian, I want to ask you here, on this back half, what do the beings that you have met with say about the emotions that we struggle with, that a lot of humans struggle with, things like grief, fear, guilt, and what role do those actually play?
They are the way we test our own trust in ourselves and our divine nature. Remember, always remember, emotions are thinking. People think emotions are some divine thing, but they're not. It's a part of the mental process. When you're emotional about something, you can laugh or you can cry about the same thing. And the way that fear comes is, I'll tell you the absolute truth. There's only two things that people ever, a spiritual being ever fears. It's only two things. That's helplessness and loneliness. There are no other fears. Why? When you come here, you accept the fact that you can be helpless when you're born and when you leave, and you can be lonely based on what you think other people think about you, think about what you think about you. People's opinions of you structures loneliness because you react to it, and why those are the only two fears in existence is because in the divine realm, there is no such thing. So the system that tries to control and manipulate us as we operate here because of free will structures all that. It could be some extraterrestrial influences, or it could be some dimensional influences. If people own a cell phone, that means they live in a world called quantum. Okay? And that phone is quantum, and quantum mechanicking and computing is now Bitcoin, and all of that stuff is occurring. Well, when you think about that, then you have to look that everything's about energetics. So when grief bereavement comes, it is to affect a certain energetic pattern from you. And from that energetic pattern and the collective of that pattern, something you fear, something you love, something you embrace, something you hold to, something you don't want to lose can be manipulated. Okay, and the whole structure of reality is set to control, to instill grief and instill fear so you can be guided and controlled. And I would have to say it's done by interdimensional and extraterrestrial influences, some good, some bad. And people say, why do you think they're so interested in us? Well, we are, if you believe some parts, we are a clone species. And evolution, if you look up Darwin's theory, Darwin is insane. I mean, it's the Darwin theory is utter nonsense. It's the dumbest thing in the world. I mean, when I had to grow up after being dead, I had to grow up and not be a fool. And I had to educate myself to how the world really was as opposed to what I'd seen. You know, I'm from South Carolina. Hell, everybody goes to hell where I come from. Okay. And I've been told I was going to go to hell since I was 5 years old. So two things people say, Danny, why are you always laughing? I said, well, I didn't die and I didn't go to hell. And I've been over there three times and it's never happened. So why not? And if anybody was going to go to hell, Debbie, it was going to be me. But we have to look at what our intentions are. And most of it is to try to see the truth. Like people turn into you and to be in a series of activations, to be able to draw upon those energies and patterns. We're all stardust. We're all connected. And then you think about, do I have a, is the fact that all my neighbors say that if I believe in the galactic system and that I'm a star seed and they're influences and I'm part of them and they're part of me. What you do is you laugh and you say, well, let me say this about that, as Nixon used to say. Let me say this about that. In our galaxy that we call the Milky Way, because of all the six satellites and all the six telescopes out there using infrared, in our universe, in our, not the universe, but in our galaxy called the Milky Way, there's 2.3 trillion planets. There's 200 billion suns. And our sun is a dwarf star. It's a little baby star. Okay? And when you look at how many Milky Ways there are out there, they estimate to be 2.3 trillion Milky Ways. And they think that you're not thinking that you're, they're thinking that, they think that you're not thinking that you're alone. How crazy can that be? How crazy can 2.3 trillion planets, 200 billion suns, and 2.3 trillion Milky Ways, and you're alone? So all you starseed family seekers, you are the brains in this outfit. You are the ones trying to make those connections. But it's all about your breathing, everybody. It's about breathing. It's about taking that breath in and holding it as a sacred value. And then when you let out, have a couple of things that you're doing, caring about something. While I'm going to go worry about this, and I got to go fix this, and I have to take care of this, I got to do the water pipe. Let in that same, each of those actions, that my heart goes to my sister who's in trouble, or my heart goes to my neighbor, or my love goes to this person. Add something else to it. Add something that's your divine self. And then I do things like that, so it hastens all the things I worry about doing, things I don't want to do. I add something that I love or want to divinely be connected to. Why I love hospice is because I believe it helps my world move faster. I believe it keeps me alive because I give a value in a world of transition calmly, and I can help people who truly this world, and I've never seen anybody didn't love me because I get it. And the family afterwards, the way that to get over grief, it's all right to bereave because that's loss. But to turn it into grief means that you're hiding from taking back control of your life. It's what it means. And you allow that loss and grief of being abandoned is a psychology which sets up loneliness, which sets up helplessness. And the core grief is only can be about helplessness and loneliness. There are no other fears that the spiritual being has. There are none. There is none.
That is powerful. What you just said, I really follow that. That
it's
that
the truth,
loss,
man.
Yes, can lead to
helplessness.
If it's able
alone.
To grow or wallow, or it's not properly directed, that it can lead to that sense of abandonment. And that is a very difficult position to be in, very painful. Incredible what you're
And
sharing.
the whole system is structured to empower it. I know it's bull. I know it's nonsense. I've been dead, not 28 minutes, dead, not maybe, not near death, but I've had open heart surgery, brain surgery, and open heart surgery again at 68 years old. They gave me 2 months. Okay. I went in, we had to resuscitate me coming out of the open heart surgery. And then 4 days later, I went into cardiac arrest twice and had to be resuscitated. So that's dead. But those were like 8 or 9 minutes. That's nothing to me. Okay. So when you look at it, I already know the rules. I know how it works, how it does, what it does, why it does it. Okay. And I can look at stuff. I can watch a person. I can size a person up in transition. I can size that person up by if they're talking, I can hear the sound of their voice.
You mentioned that before we started, and you said, I can tell everything by somebody's voice. What do you mean by that? What specifically do you pick up on? Do you know? Do you sense, receive?
I can listen to a person's voice. That is the only real thing. There is nothing else that's real in this dimension except the sound of your voice. In the beginning, there was the word, and the word said, let there be light. In the beginning, there was the word. Okay, so the only real thing, what goes when you let out your last breath? Your voice. And that's also you. And everything else is still the frick here.
That's beautiful.
So
You've
I can
hinted that humanity is in this pre-agreed evolutionary leap. Can you share what signs tell you that we're in the middle of it right now?
the Holy Land. The war, the religious war between Allah and Jehovah. Who's winning? Look at Gaza. Look at Israel. Look at Syria. Look, the Holy Land, Jerusalem. Look at it. It's in utter turmoil. And all of us draw our spiritual belief system from there. And look what it's doing. And what are we doing about it? We're waging war. We're not stopping it, and no matter what. The system, the 20-point peace plan, everybody comes up with one of these. It's a change in heart. And now they made it about land. Okay. And we who know where Palestine, where the term Palestine came from. I mean, it was a better name than Philistines, and we were still mad at Goliath and David, We who understand that, who understand that reality, we should be bigger, stronger, and smarter, but we're not. But that tells me that on Christmas, we're going to be celebrating the birth of Jesus, and we have Hanukkah and all of that, and people are killing women and children. And the kind of grief and the kind of stress there and what's happening. And we're celebrating the birth of Jesus. That means we've all gone freaking crazy.
So then if the world could understand one truth from your experiences, Danian, what truth would create the greatest acceleration and awakening?
You do not die. You will not die. And everything that's constructed around that to control your life and the life of the people you love is built on a lie. The body, if the body is taken care of, if it's taken care of and it's managed, it will carry you 120 years. I don't want to be here 120 years, okay? But it will. And if you stop and get off of that track about that you're going to die, and you construct your whole reality in fear of going someplace that you inevitably be going to be loved by someone who's waiting for you, and to go where your parents and your friends have already gone to see, also see them, and still be scared to death of going to see them. That means we've gone crazy.
There are animals there that meet us as well.
Your animals never leave you. You, that energetic pattern stays in your field. It doesn't, the animal doesn't, it celebrates your coming back too. But remember, that kinship is pure love. Mm. It's a boundary that creates a safety of understanding your love, and why veterinarians are making so much money. People are cloning their dogs because they have no freaking friends. And they're holding on to these animals and spending $5 billion. And
what?
This is all insane. This is
Whoa.
Insane. That animal, that love bonds to you. That animal is always with you. Its love stays. It doesn't go anywhere. When you get over, I have never been visited by any relative anytime I went over there. I can understand why. I don't have any problems with why nobody came to see me. Okay? I don't blame them. All right? But the divine force celebrates your return. The divine force, the glory of the divine being celebrates your return. And that a job well done, because 99% of everybody gets done what they were sent to do.
Oh, that's
they
great.
Lose their way in being helpless and being alone or thinking that they are.
Do you know why some souls choose these challenges that seem unbearable? And how do we make sense of that from a higher vantage?
It pays well.
How?
When you understand deal making, when you know the whole story after that first one, after 28 minutes, I didn't care what they did. I was going to take care of myself, and I'd already been taking care of myself, or I wouldn't have never made it. Okay. And I had a brief couple of years where I was enjoying myself way too much, but you take care of yourself. And when all that grief and bereavement, I know how it structures itself because I have seen the life review. I know how reality works because I have seen my own life review and it's only one. It doesn't pick up where you left off. You go through the whole, no matter how many times you die, I still had to be that same evil God. No, and it's worse now going through it because I've changed so much, but so what? It means that the universe is fair and just. It also means that nobody's going to get away with anything. And they said, well, how do you frame it? I said, you think about freaking Hitler. He's got to be 6 million of us, okay? He's got to go through 6 million of us. So, I'm glad. I ain't worried about it. If everybody's going to be everybody that has ever encountered a field of debt, the direct results of that, think of that. Think about it. And most people, their intention of why they were doing it might have drove you crazy, but they were doing in their own way the best they could possibly do for you, or best in the way to create for you in their own limited, insane world. So they smooth through it. They smooth through it. Your reaction to it when you face all that, you just smooth through it. You're going to observe every single thing. Most of it's joy. Most of it's joy. I had to go out of my way to be an asshole, Deb. And I went out of my way to be one. I don't make any bones about it. None. So what I want everybody to do is realize this. If you're alive today and you're breathing, you're the most special creature. special, and divinity is flowing through you. I always try to say, I'm not the sun that shines. Nor am I the warmth that enters a room on a summer day. I'm just a window pane, a means by which that light can pass. By keeping my mind pure and clean and keeping my heart focused on that I'm to make a difference as opposed to create a drama. I'm to make a difference and I'm to grow up and get over all that stuff. Get over it. And all that thing that's grieving you is only helping you be lonely and feel helpless. And that means you need somebody else to come take care of you or save you, just like the person you're grieving over did. Husbands, wives, mothers, fathers. That is a structured reality that religion plays upon us. Psychiatry sells drugs to handle it. So the structure to keep that going, to perpetuate that sense of energetic pattern, everyone senses the sound of the voice. Stress can be determined in the voice. I can listen to the sound of a person's voice. And I can listen to how they where the verb conjugation, and I understand the action and intent that they had structured in the conversation they're having with me. I learned this from watching when people were dying, because a person losing control does everything they can to take control. And once you know that, you can observe from it. When you have watched, I've been with 358 people taking their last breath. Nobody fools me, death. And if you are walking and breathing and you're not dying, you got even less of a chance. I am on you. Long as you're talking, I got you. Everything is about the voice. In the beginning, there was the word. And when you leave in that half of a breath, so does your voice. And that's all of you that's real in this dimension. There is nothing else in this dimension that is real. It is all electrons, neutrons, protons. Science says it every freaking day. If you have a cell phone, this is what science says. You're made up of atoms, molecules, and cells. You take a bunch of atoms and you clump them together and you get a molecule. Then you take a lot of molecules and you clump them together and you get a cell. And then all of a sudden you clump 30 to 50 billion cells together and you get a body. But if you take one of those cells or 10,000 of those cells and you put them on an electron microscope today, it's 99.999999 into infinity percent empty space. That means you're not even here.
Wow.
And you can take the entire population of the world, all of them together, and they would fit half of a paper matchbox. That's a fact. Anybody wants to argue, look it up. That's the reality of what you think is physical. That's its reality. Now, if you own one of these, you can, there's a cell phone. You can go on your cell phone now and ask if what I just said was true. It will say that it is true. So when you listen to a person's voice, you're listening to that person. And the sound of their voice, if you learn how to breathe to the rhythm of the sound of their voice, you can hear anything you need to know about them. How I know? I don't have time to deal with the whole family dynamic and issue. I have a person in front of me and they need clarity. And they need a safe place so that they can structurally let go, so that they can go instead of stay on and on. We know too much about the human body. We can keep you alive for years. If you cannot breathe on your own, it's time to go. Why? That's it. And I push families, I don't push them. I say, look, this is the game. You keep, as long as he's breathing on his own and being in a coma, you keep him here. I don't care. They can breathe on their own. I don't care. And if they need assistance in breathing on their own sometimes, I'm for it. But when you can't, uh-uh. And if you grieve a moment over letting the natural system go, this is where the biggest animosity, anxiety, and disruption in a family happens, pulling the switch. And they begin to hate each other, and then families' heritage and histories are destroyed, and their future together, like I said earlier. What I am proud of is that people are reaching beyond the religious plane into the true dimensional reality of who we are as magnificent beings. Magnificent. I mean, we were chosen. One of the great lessons of the beings of the what became the prophecies, none of those prophecies are mine. I used to call that Nostradamian. When people,
You're such a character.
when people would say your predictions, I didn't predict crap. I just wrote it down. Okay. I just wrote it down and then I put it in Saved by the Light because I got mad and I decided to write a near-death book. Okay, mine was one of the very first ones out there. I drove me and Raymond and I spent 20 years with Raymond Moody. We drove to near-death experience. Raymond wasn't going to do it, and I was going to make it happen. Because I thought about all those people who are out there and has this experience and has nowhere to turn and nobody to talk to. You can't talk to your rabbi, you can't talk to your minister, you can't talk to your priest. You can't talk to your doctor. And what do you do when you need some help? So I watched Raymond just be destroyed by, he was a philosopher, a PhD in philosophy. He was an MD and he was a forensic psychiatrist. And every one of those groups turned on him. Well, I got mad. I decided they need to pick on somebody their own size. And I decided it was me. Okay. So I wrote Saved by the Light. I was still a hospice volunteer. I was still working. And I didn't know that that book would sell 30 million books. I didn't know all that. It was because it's just me telling the truth. I don't bullshit. I don't BS people. I don't do it. It's not necessary. And the world has too much BS in it now so that they're not really sinking in the fact you are not this body. It is a something that you need to operate in this sphere or dimension with. You are your voice. That is all of you that's here. There is nothing else. The thinking processes are connected to the brain, but the brain is not the source of anything. It works a certain way or it can inhibit that way. And most of the time, that's chosen. Okay? We cannot, because of free will, control whether every woman smokes cigarettes or drinks liquor, does drugs, or the guy, you know what, because the body of the, as that fetus is growing inside, the purity that's necessary and the cleanliness of the food and all that, you can't control all of that. So you're not going to blame everything on a predestinal opposition to this reality because free will is the greatest thing there is. But I'm going to tell everybody, here is the greatest gift that God has given each and every one of you. Autonomic breathing. Because if you, autonomic breathing is the, is God taking, poking you in the ribs with his elbow, saying, take a breath. Because if you didn't autonomically breathe, how important would the next breath be? It would be everything.
Everything. Oh, Danian, you're so amazing. This flew. I've really enjoyed this time with you. Please tell people how can they find you, what's next, and let's talk about CLE, Conscious Life Expo, all of what you're offering there.
Okay, so I'm at Danyon.com and Lightstreamers. I mean, the history of Danyon is at Lightstreamers.com because Mel has warehoused the 40, 50-year history of Danyon.
Oof.
And then I'm Danyon.com. Everybody can go there. It's me implementing a system that I was given to achieve 50 years ago in 1975. I will achieve it. That place where I can show without any question that all the only real thing about you is your voice. Where you are just your voice and not your body. Okay, and so I'm working on another book, but I've been working on it for like 20 years. 10 Things to Know Before You Go. It's me making fun of everything and The thing that bothers me the most is I'm doing studies on parents who lose a child. Everything that's morbid to everybody else, death is not morbid to me. You know, these are things that nobody wants to touch or think about or all that. My biggest driving issue is
Well, we've had I think he froze. So we'll wait for him to come back. And while we wait for Danian to come
national
back, I
statistics.
just, whoops, are you there?
Yep.
Okay, great. Sorry, you froze. Go ahead.
Okay, if you think that, if you know that there's any such thing as child trafficking, and you're not taking a part of your everyday to have something done about it, then everything that you stand for means nothing. If you are child trafficking, adrenochrome and body parts and organ harvesting, this is going on in our lives every day, and the federal government has been paying for it. Well, not this one, but the last administration. If you're not doing and actively in your prayers and your thoughts trying to stop child trafficking, then I don't know what you deserve to have good in your life. I don't. So my biggest thing when you ask, Deb, is I am so against child trafficking, and I work diligently. I do hospice, but I work diligently. I call my congressmen and my senators, and I tell them I'm against war and I'm against child trafficking. And I will watch what you do on the in the House of Representatives and in the Senate floor about these two things, about determining where I'll vote for you or not. And I don't have to go into some big ritual. You know, I don't have to go in, and I'm against these two things, and I better see you caring about these two things.
Yeah, I
Okay.
want to say I've got a client. I really adore this man who has been one of the bravest individuals I know. And he took the very facts, all of them that you just mentioned, and he wove them into a brilliant fictional novel. I mean, brilliant. He addresses so much that sometimes I'm a little concerned for him. But so far, so good. And it's getting a lot of notoriety out there because he's an exceptional writer. And I do podcast bookings for folks and I take books to international bestseller. And it has been such a joy to see such a brave soul put all of this down into an exceptional novel that's. I think it's all about timing. It's really being received right now. So
Well,
I believe.
tell him I'm thankful. Bless
Yes.
him. You know, bless him. I co-raised or tried to co-raise six girls, five girls and a boy. So when I if I have a thought, and there's one grandchild, and if I have a thought that this could be happening to one of mine, and
Absolutely. It's
this is
unthinkable.
the
Even for a human, for even the human trafficking, all of it, we live in a very interesting world right now, but I think it's people like you speaking up, being brave, taking the lens and putting it on something where everybody else is looking away. This is so important right now. And I know you will have a very positive contingency of people who believe in the book and can do something with it. And I want to thank you so much for being on the show today and for all the amazing work you do for all the people, whether you get thank yous or not. I know energetically what you are putting into this world and into the collective. And so, thank you very much.
thank you. And everybody who's coming to Conscious Life, I'll be a lot of fun. The only thing I'm going to tell everybody is the truth, but I can make it funny. But for all you star seeds out there, there is 2 trillion planets. No, 2 trillion, there's 2 trillion galaxies out there. And I hope that you connect to whoever and whatever energetic level of consciousness that you relate to these energetic fields, because it's all vibration. You can go on the NASA website, Deb, and you can hear the planets singing. It's got that. I've tuned it in, and they've taken the sounds that are made as the the satellite is moving out of this galaxy into another one, and it's music to hear the planet singing. Okay, I just delight in this kind of stuff because once you live in, when you're not going to die, forever gets to be a whole lot longer, and it makes life more interesting. And the little simple things that you want, you don't never have time for, you have time for. And I want everybody to know that I love them with all my heart because I love me. And I know I want everybody to know I want them to be the very best they could be because I'm trying to be the very best that I can be. And that my intention is pure and what I tell you is the truth. And be blessed, be loved. And thank you for doing what you do also, Deb. Thank you.
I received that. I received that. Thank you so much. I end today's show with this reminder. You are a great, powerful, mighty spiritual being, and the mission you came here to complete is already alive within you. And when you understand that you never die, you begin to truly live. This has
Amen.
been Dare to Dream. Amen. A woman. For curious souls who want to connect with extraterrestrial life, the higher dimensions, and ancient shamanic wisdom. And next week on the podcast, I'm very excited to introduce you to Stephanie Banks. She channels everything. I've had a session with her. She is unique. She can channel the earth, the trees, animals, people you know. And I know how legit she is because the things that she came out with, nobody would know these things. It was profound. She is such a gift. And so I want you now to experience her gift. You are in for a treat, and she will be channeling on the show. Subscribe to this number one transformation conversation, Dare to Dream with Debbie Dashinger. And I think you heard all the message you need to hear. And it was a really strong suggestion and directive. It's time for us all to remember who we really are, to really live our lives and live them as if we are having a review at the next breath. Remember to dare to dream and create all your dreams into your reality.
Thanks for joining us this week on Dare to Dream. Make sure to visit our website, debbiedashinger.com. That's DEBBIDACHINGER. You can subscribe to the show on YouTube and all major podcast sites, so you'll never miss an episode. While you're at it, if you found value in this program, we'd appreciate a like and comment, or tell a friend about the podcast. That will help us out as well. And if you like this conversation, you might want to check out Debbie's shamanic healing programs. And Debbie is available for coaching to write your book, and her company takes your finished book to guaranteed international bestseller. Be sure to subscribe for our next episode of Dare to Dream podcast with Debbie Dashinger, your number one transformation conversation.